Kaplan, Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Jimenez swings and grounds one into center field, base hit. Here comes Grandal. Abreu right behind him, and the White Sox lead this one 2-0. Jimenez with a base hit to left. Abreu coming around third. Peterson up with it. The throw to the plate will be cut off. Eloy Jimenez has knocked in three in two at-bats. And the White Sox lead 3-0. Here comes an 0-1 try. Ground ball up the middle, base hit. That'll work. Mendick will score. White Sox have the lead again. It's 4-3.
We, of course, are your home for White Sox baseball. Thrilled to be your home. You heard the game yesterday. Jesse Rogers was there. And we had the Cubs versus the White Sox. Jesse, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How we doing?
We're doing well. Dylan Cease is a beast, man. That guy's going to be really good for a long time.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Cap. And I want to get Hood's opinion because he's more of the diehard. Because I feel like a lot of people are worried about Dylan Cease. I'd be worried about him if he was your ace. But this is now not a three, which he was last year. He's now a four. And yes, it was just his debut yesterday, but it was three clean innings, really good stuff, kept the ball down, everything you'd want out of a first outing in the spring. But Hoodie, I don't have any really concerns about Dylan Cease as a four. Now, again, if you're trying to elevate him higher than that, he's not ready for that. And they certainly need to find a five right now. But at four, I think that he could be one of the best fours in the league. What do you think?
Absolutely. He can be able to develop. If he was the one or two, that'd be a lot of concern. But he could be able to go free and easy and develop at the number four. Look, you can get two out of three from your first three starters. And if whatever Cease gives you is gravy, right? And so while he develops, I have no problem with him as a four. The five is going to be... You know, we're still kind of wondering what that's going to be. But Cease, as a young player there, I'm very encouraged by what I saw here in spring training. And a little bit what we saw last year. Jesse, we saw a guy that had an electric fastball, had some movement. He had some troubles here and there, but you're going to get that from a young pitcher.
Yeah, he's revamped his mechanics. And it's about the fastball command, which it is for most pitchers. And he's no different. But those revamped mechanics came to fruition yesterday, right? I mean, the fastball command was there. Gave up just one hit, a couple strikeouts. First inning was great. I mean, first pitch, soft ground ball by Ian Happ, strikes out Wilson Contreras. I believe it was on three pitches. Then sort of end of the bat, fly ball off of Jock Peterson, who's as hot as anyone. So, and then he rolled from there, three good innings. And on the other side, Alec Mills gave up six hits, three runs. And this is the problem with soft tossing pitchers. There are going to be moments where location isn't great, and you're going to give up hard contact. And your defense can only do so much. So those moments when there's Mills, Davies, and Hendricks even not finding location, that could be just one inning of a game. Because Mills wasn't awful in the three innings. Mm-hmm. But he had that one moment where he just didn't look good early. They scored two in the first. And it was about location. And that's the problem. They just don't have enough strikeout stuff. So their defense has to be great. And they have to give up that soft contact. Mills did not do that early.
So... the Cubs must have got something amazing when they traded Dylan Cease and threw in an outfielder. They must have got an amazing pitcher. I can't remember who that was.
Yeah, I remember thinking at the time, okay, and I said this on the air, I understood the trade in the moment, but I did, like everyone else, think 5 years from now, it's going to look bad for about 10 years, right? As soon as Cease and Eloy made it up, and Quintana kind of was on the other side of things, now not even on the team, now the next five years. It's, there's no way around it. The trade is going to look lopsided in the White Sox favor. I still contend, Cap, if in 17 they had like won the World Series again and Quintana was a contributor, we would view it as Aroldis Chapman for Gleyber Torres. You'd be upset Torres is gone, but happy they won it all. But Quintana did not elevate them to that category. And in the subsequent years, he was very inconsistent. He was never better than he was with the White Sox. And that's obviously on Theo and Jed in some ways. And also on the fact that they weren't able to develop pitching on their own. They had to go out and trade for it.
Jesse, have you heard anything about Tony La Russa, how he's running spring training, opposed to how Renteria was running it? Any buzz about La Russa and the way he does things?
You know, not in terms of the difference in how they run things, but the difference between them has become obvious in talking to players. I was able to do a one-on-one Zoom with Giolito the other day. I did a one-on-one with Eaton, and they both said things that others have said in the group Zooms, and it's just this experience that La Russa has. It's not out of date, right? It's not, the game is mostly the same. The fundamentals, how you deal with it, how you deal with expectations, all that stuff is the same. There's some differences in technology and stuff and analytics, which, by the way, La Russa's, you know, been ahead of the game on that as well. So it's just the fact that they can sort of fall back on his experience. I keep hearing this from players, and he's certainly not acted in sort of any old man, you know, old school type of way. Not so far, of course. And I think that's going to be his biggest strength, going back to the expectation game. And I think it was Joe Maddon's biggest strength. I've been here. I've done it before. I understand that everyone is picking us to do big things, but next month is April, not October. And that's the one thing, talking to Giolito and Eaton one-on-one, they both kind of stressed every day he's dropping little hints like, basically, you have not accomplished anything. And I think that's the right message, because he's a very confident team. Did you like what Giolito said yesterday when he was announced the opening day starter? Now, he was asked to talk about himself, but he said, you know what? I've proven I'm one of the best pitchers in the league, so I kind of deserve this. You know, he didn't say he almost said it that directly. Not quite, but he did say, I've proven a lot, and I'm one of the best pitchers in the league. You don't hear many guys say that. We know Anderson brings this brashness to him. So I think La Russa needs to be the other side of that coin, keep these guys in check a little bit. He has been.
Better than Hendricks. Take that.
What do you mean, better than Hendricks?
Yeah, well, I mean, Cap and I went back and forth about who's going to be the ace of the pitchers,
yes,
in Chicago.
When Lucas Giolito closes out a pennant against Clayton Kershaw and then pitches in Game 7 of a World Series, we can have that discussion.
Oh, that'll happen.
Look, I think
I hope so.
I think two things are mutually, you know, you can have both thoughts. Giolito has better stuff, a higher ceiling, right? He does. But what Hendricks has done, not many pitchers can do those big games that Cap said. So it's those dual thoughts. This guy has no-hitter stuff. We saw him actually go do it. By the way, Hendricks at times has flirted with no-hitter stuff, but Hendricks has done it in the biggest moment. So the Giolito's biggest games are ahead of him. There's no doubt about it. But let's not take anything away from what Kyle Hendricks has done.
Jesse Rogers, our guest from Arizona. Jesse, Javi Baez spoke about his contract wanting an extension. I'm okay if we go into the season, which leads me to believe they're talking. What do you think?
Yes, I think that's exactly right. Now, a year ago, there was more of a start of the season deadline. But now we're down to last year of a deal, okay? I don't think they want to force anything. I think they want to keep their lines of communication open. I think, you know, having a good spring and start to the season, as crazy as that might sound, I think it's important when an owner is about to drop $175, $200 million, he wants to make sure, especially coming off of 2020, that there's something there, you know, something still there, I guess. So I'm not surprised that it might extend into the season. Heck, it could go all the way to the All-Star break for all I know. So, all of that makes sense. I think if you ask me today, Rizzo's more likely to sign earlier than Baez. And then the long shot would be KB. I think that in that order, I would rank, you know, who's going to sign and when, sort of thing. Obviously, they're not going to sign all three. We know the two that are more likely to come back. But yeah, by this thing, I'm glad Baez said that publicly, because I think it's the right thing. When you're down to the final few months and you're coming off a weird year in 2020, you don't want to draw lines in the sand. I don't think you want to on either side. You want to keep the lines open. It's problematic in terms of, you know, like there might be some pressure on him in April, but so what? You know what? You got to perform sometimes, and this is the time where all three need to perform.
Do we have an idea of where Jock Peterson will be in the lineup for the Cubs moving
well,
forward?
Well, I think he's going to be in the middle.
Five?
Yeah, I think,
having a great spring.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rossi's still working out, but four or five, yes. Yeah, I mean, I think that I don't think he's one, two, or three, but he's certainly going to be four or five, depending. You know, these guys like to go lefty, righty. So if you're going to go, it all depends on two at this point. You know, it could be Hap, It could be Wilson Contreras. It could be Rizzo. It could be Bryant. It could be, you know, who knows? He's not married to Bryant at two. And that's what it's been before, Bryant 2, Rizzo 3. So, but either way, you need him to replace Schwarber from the left side. And if Rizzo is 3, Peterson could be 5, just to break up the lefties.
What do you got a lineup in mind for the Cubs, Cap? I mean, Hap at the top, is that your leadoff hitter starting off?
Probably right now.
Wilson?
I'd probably hit Contreras in the 2-hole.
Yep.
I'd probably hit Rizzo in the 3-hole. Mm-hmm. Bryant in the 4-hole.
Baez
in the 5-hole, Hayward in the 6.
Peterson 7?
Maybe, no, sorry. Yeah, Peterson 6, Hayward 7, mm-hmm. Horner 8.
It wouldn't shock me if Baez was as low as 6. It would not shock me.
It's another good lineup.
It all depends on that 2-hole.
Well, Jesse, on paper, you're like, oh, my God.
You have a lot of talent there.
But hit the baseball.
Right.
We said that for 3 years.
Every year, right?
We said that for 3 years.
Right. Yeah, like, now, lineup, Jesse, if Hayward is like 7th, you're like, oh, my God, you got a murderer's row there, right?
Right.
Yeah, I kind of like him tinkering with lowering Chris Bryant. The 2-3 thing, Bryant 2, Rizzo 3, Rizzo, it hasn't worked in a few years for whatever reason. I don't know.
So Jesse, if you went Contreras, Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, Peterson.
No, I'd go Peterson 5. Now, I'd go Peterson 5. You break up the, you know, you don't want to go righty-righty. You go righty-lefty-righty.
Okay, that's fine.
I think Baez could be as low as 6. I think Baez might be as low as 6 right now.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's happened when we hit 2 Bryan or 3.
Unless KB's as low as 6. I don't know, but I don't think he will be.
You don't want to piss KB off. He'll be talking about it at the end of the game. Well, I'm hitting 6, so I don't know nothing I could do.
Wow. Get into all that.
If this was 1990 or something, I'd bat Nico Horner 2nd. Like, he's your quintessential old-school number 2 hitter. But that's not how things work anymore. So I don't even know if Wilson Contreras is the right number 2 hitter either. I haven't put a lot of thought into it yet. We're coming down to the final 2 weeks. But it's a good debate. Like, who is number 2 really sets up the rest of the lineup for the Cubs?
Rizzo.
And he has been having Wilson up there. But I'm not sure if he's the right 2. Does he really take enough walks to kind of set the table? I want a sort of dynamic number 2 that can walk and slug, and I'm not sure if Wilson's that guy. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, we'll see how it all shakes out. Jesse, any other nuggets from either side we need to know?
Yeah, since we brought up left-handed hitters, I've been stressing this all offseason. I really think the White Sox might be a little short from the left side, and that's why I'll say that Johan Moncada is so important for this team.
Agreed.
If he's going to bat fourth where La Russa has had him, he is so important. He's got a slug. And I was looking this up in regards to Rizzo a little bit and the White Sox. And so then I went and dug into the Cubs and Sox. Guess how many different White Sox left-handed hitters in the history of the team have hit 30 or more home runs in one season? Different left-handed hitters.
All right.
Different left-handed hit 30.
Did Baines hit more than 30?
No.
No.
Okay.
I think Tomy did.
There's two.
Tomy?
Two, yeah.
That's a fine.
Tomy's the leader. He had 3 seasons where he's hit 30 or more home runs. That's one. There's another one somewhat recent, you know, the big redhead they got.
Adam Dunn.
Remember? Yeah, Adam Dunn did it twice. Dunn and Tomy, 30 home run seasons. You're halfway through the list. You are halfway through the list. I'll give you the other two. Oscar Gamble and Robin Ventura each had 1. So 4 mm-hmm. players have combined for 7 seasons in the history of the franchise. Now, granted, there's less lefties than righties, but 4 different players. So this is what I'm talking about, the slug from the left side and why Peterson would have been such a great fit with the White Sox. Can Moncada get to 30? It's not easy. It hasn't been done often. But you know, that's how few guys have done on the White Sox. Now, Cubs have only had 16 seasons of 30 home runs. You know, I think it's 7 different players combined for 16 seasons. Just for comparison, the Yankees have had 17 players, 53 combined seasons. Obviously, right field short porch has helped. And having Babe Ruth in your franchise has helped. But this is what I'm talking about, the left-handed slug. Only 4 players have hit 30 home runs from the left side in the White Sox. So, you know, I don't think they're going to get one unless it's Moncada this year, because I don't think Grandel or Eaton are getting there.
Jesse, have a great day, man.
There's your nugget. Take care, guys.
See ya. There he is, the great Jesse Rogers.
How about that? So you learn something every day.
You learn something new.
I could have sworn, you know, Baines, he hit for power, but it wasn't 30 home runs. I can see that now.
It's crazy.
And he's done with his 202 average and his 30 home 30 home runs.
Hall of Famer.
Jeez.
Are the Bears going to make a major splash in free agency to shore up their O-line? That's the rumor. That's next.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Are the Bears going to make a major splash in free agency? They don't have a ton of cap space. They got their back up against the wall at the quarterback spot. But, Hoodie, they have to upgrade at the tackles. Have to. The interior of the offensive line is actually pretty good and pretty well regarded around the league. But they've got to improve the tackle spots.
Yes.
Trent Williams, 33, but really is playing like a 32-year-old body because he had a year off of football when he sat out. He was good last year. They said top three tackles in the league. We've seen, who's the guy on the Rams? Andrew Whitworth. He's 38, 39, still going. So there's probably some good football left in Trent Williams. This is probably the last big contract he's going to get. And the Bears reportedly are in there. Would you create more cap room to be able to do something like that, or it's too rich for your blood?
No, I got to be able to take care of whoever the quarterback's going to be. The offensive line was a big storyline the last couple of seasons with the Bears, and they were able to kind of piece it together with Bars and Mustapher for a little bit. But you got to have guys that you can rely on week in and week out. And I see all these other teams like the Patriots and others that are making moves. I know we're in a kind of a window here. We're going to see a lot of signings here the next 24 to 48 hours, Cap. But the point is that Mario Edwards signing a 3-year contract extension was great. Pat O'Donnell, Cairo Santos, Allen Robinson was tagged. And that's it. That's it. Very quiet up there.
Very quiet. Because everything hinges on what they do at QB.
I just like for them, to make a splash. Roy Robertson Harris and letting him go is not a splash. By the way, congratulations to him, man.
Got paid.
Rotation guy for the Bears. People in Jacksonville texted me yesterday, asked me my thoughts on him. I said, you know, good locker room guy, definitely a leader for that team, rotation guy, but he got paid. The guaranteed money's good for a guy that is just pretty good.
Yeah.
So
$24 million contract.
Danny?
Pretty cool.
There's an interest. I know you can't see Brad Biggs' tweets, Cap. There's an interesting tweet by Brad Biggs, which will make you excited if you're a Bears fan and then make you want to puke.
He blocked you.
He wrote, "Will be a fascinating day for the Bears at Halas Hall. They are believed to be in pursuit of the top free agent on the market and left tackle Trent Williams." You guys were mentioning that. "The buzz that Andy Dalton could head to Chicago is increasing."
Yeah.
That is the worst sentence I could possibly read to you today.
The worst.
Oh, this is what it is.
Again, the only way that it becomes palatable is if they've identified someone in the draft and they're moving heaven and earth to get him. That's it. Then I don't care who they sign.
Then why do you need Andy Dalton if you've got Nick Foles? Like, if you're going to draft,
because obviously they think he's better.
So what are you going to do with Nick Foles?
No idea.
No, not what they think. What do you think, Cap? What do you think? You got two veterans.
They're both mediocre at best to me.
Right.
But
doesn't answer the question.
But my point is, they believe he's better suited to run their system than what they saw to Nick Foles. And again, if they move heaven and earth and they go, that's the guy, and they move up in the first round to get the guy. Like, it's not Sam Ehlinger in the sixth round. I'm talking about, that's the guy. Okay. I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
But you and I believe that they're just spinning their wheels. That's exactly what they're doing. If Andy Dalton comes through the door at Halas Hall and you already have a veteran quarterback in place in Nick Foles, then what are you doing?
No, I'm not going to say they're spinning their wheels. I don't agree with that. Again, if they get to the draft and we go, Hoodie, did you see what they just did? They traded number 20 and next year's number 1 and this and that. And they moved all the way up to 3, and they got Zach Wilson. I'm picking a name. Okay. I hope you're right. I love the aggressiveness. I hope you're right. Then I don't care who they sign as a veteran. I really don't. But if you tell me Andy Dalton got a 4-year deal for big money and they don't draft another quarterback, yeah, then that's a joke.
What is it? I don't know. I see what you're saying about the draft pick, Cap. You know, I think everybody in the city will get excited if you just do. If your team drafts a quarterback, all of a sudden, you know, there's optimism that begins with the hope that you found your next franchise quarterback. But Andy Dalton, you know, whatever it is, whether it's $5 million, which I think would probably be really low, if it's $10 million, that's $10 million wasted if your plan is to go draft a quarterback. You've got Nick Foles on the roster. Andy Dalton might be moderately better than Nick Foles, but if your plan is to draft a quarterback, don't waste the resources on Andy Dalton, who's a minimal upgrade at best.
I understand your point. I'm not here advocating for Andy Dalton. I'm not a huge fan. I didn't want him last year. What I'm saying to you is, if Matt is the guru of the offense and they kept him, they didn't fire him, and Matt says, I think we can have a really good season next year with that guy, and we're going to sign him to a 1-year deal, and we're drafting Zach Wilson.
Okay. Just like Matt was going to.
You can't make someone trade you Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson. If those guys
you can if you're smart.
No, you cannot. Not,
yeah, you can.
No, you cannot.
You can always negotiate. You've never tried to negotiate a lower price for a vehicle or for a home.
And
you have. The idea that poor Ryan Pace, he can't negotiate. You can't make him give you Russell Wilson. Well, you can. If you try, if you're a good organization, you can. The idea that you just can't. We're just giving him a pass. Don't give that guy a pass.
No one's giving him a pass.
Don't give him a pass.
Who's giving him a pass? My point to you is, if at the end of the day, next season kicks off and Russell Wilson is still a Seahawk and Deshaun Watson still a Texan, it takes two to make a trade. It doesn't matter if you call him up and go, here's $1 billion. Sorry, we're not trading him. It doesn't matter. Now, if you tell me, oh, my God, the Vikings just traded for Deshaun Watson, why couldn't we do that? That's a different story.
And you're still leaning on what is not versus what is. The draft pick, one of these kids. We have outside of Trevor Lawrence, in which you and I are a fan of, mm-hmm. We saw him at Clemson, we don't know what these other guys are. We don't know. You want to be able to lean on the genuine article, something that you can see, instead of the unseen in the NFL.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying, except if they don't get moved, it takes two to make a trade. No, you could offer a billion great trade proposals. If in the end, David Culley and Cal McNair go, we don't care. We're not trading him. We're making a point here.
But Jeff's point is valid when you say, why even bother with Andy Dalton when they can do what you said, get that draft pick. If you feel that draft pick, whatever quarterback you're going to get, put him in place and just have Nick start. If that's the best you could do, that's what you have.
Listen, they're going to be...
Because Andy Dalton is no better than Nick Foles. That's the point.
They're going to be
the same thing.
About that.
Well, what's the difference?
They both aren't.
Listen,
he
might be better, but it's minimal. Andy Dalton, like...
What do you disagree with? I just said they're not... That said they're no better than the other.
No,
it's the same. That's what I just said.
No, what I disagree with you is where you're saying, no, negotiate and make the trade. If those guys don't get traded to anybody, it doesn't matter then.
I also said that Andy Dalton and Nick Foles are the same difference. It's the same guy.
No, what I said to you is if Matt says, right. I broke down every freaking play, we need to go get Andy Dalton while we draft this other guy. We can do whatever you want with Nick Foles. Give him away. I don't care. I'm not starting him. That guy at least can be a placeholder for a year. Okay, you're the head coach. It's not my job.
He can't keep. I know what you're saying. He can't keep falling back on, though, when I scouted Patrick Mahomes, I had him above Mitch Trubisky. That's great. I'm glad Matt Nagy was able to identify that. But Patrick Mahomes is not always in the next draft. He was. Can we agree? He's a generational player.
Agreed.
Right.
Correct.
So just because Matt was able to identify him doesn't mean that whoever he thinks is the best quarterback in this draft will be a franchise quarterback.
I don't disagree, but my point is that if indeed Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson don't get moved, period. Yes.
Agreed with this.
Okay.
I know, but
then
problem is
someone's got to duck under center
absolutely.
Next September.
But it shouldn't be Dalton plus your draft pick. If you're drafting a quarterback, forego Andy Dalton. It's a waste of resources on a team that's already, we've talked about it, cap-strapped. Nick Foles is basically a blonde-haired Andy Dalton.
I'm not disagreeing.
He's the blonde rifle.
Again, what, I didn't say it was me. I said if Matt says I can win 10 games with that guy, but I can't with Nick Foles, and I don't want to play the rookie in his rookie season.
But you were okay. saying this about Matt last year. He could win 10 games with Nick Foles and not Mitch.
Again, I wouldn't have brought either guy back. I would have cleaned house.
But Andy Dalton they is didn't. Doing the same thing. We're going down that same road that what they did last year with Nick Foles. Listen, if you can't land the big fish in Russ or Watson, and I agree with you, you need the Seahawks and Houston Texans to be willing to do that.
That's true.
Can't argue with you there. But if you've made your decision that you can't get one of those guys and you need to draft somebody, that's fine. But don't go down the Andy Dalton road, too.
I'd like to put those resources toward an offensive lineman, if I could.
No question.
Instead don't disagree.
Dalton, you know? Because I need that badly. I need the quarterback badly. But if it's not the one that I want, Cap, I want to put allocate those resources to something that can help
my offensive line.
Yeah.
I don't disagree.
Yeah. If I could help it, I would want to do that.
But again, this is what – we'll see what their plan is. Lewis Riddick certainly talks like he's holding a made hand. I'm just telling you. Like – I can't really say it, but I know something. That's how I take what Lewis says. We'll play Shot or No Shot next.
Take that.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see emanation.
Shot. No Shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see emanation.
Shot, No Shot brought to you by PointsBet. PointsBet Sportsbooks here. Visit us at Hawthorne Racecourse. Experience Illinois' premium sportsbook. But first, download the PointsBet app. Get $100 in free bets when you deposit just $20 with the code ESPN. Daniel.
Gentlemen, earlier this year, Javi Baez set a deadline to get an extension done with the Cubs before the season starts on April 1st.
All right, Danny.
Hey, what's up, Hoodie? How you doing, my man?
I didn't want to interrupt.
It's all right.
You're in the middle. That's all. Go right ahead.
Baez sounded more flexible yesterday. Baez said he is willing to have his agent keep working on a deal with the Cubs while he focuses on playing on the field. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, Javi Baez's new flexibility means a deal is imminent between the Cubs and Javi.
Shot, because he wasn't Chris Bryant about it. I think they're more amenable to talk to Baez because he'll wait till later.
What does imminent mean in your mind?
Tomorrow.
I'll say before May 15th.
No shot.
So on that narrow window, I'm going to say no shot. If you say to me by All-Star break.
That's 2 months away, May 15th.
I'm going to say, if you tell me it's by All-Star break, yes. They're not going to let him get to free agency. They are going to have something done by All-Star break.
So before the deadline.
Oh, well before the deadline. Because if by All-Star break they don't have it done, he'll be traded.
Yeah, I would go along with that. I think because he wasn't chirping, Danny, I think that, and we've talked about this a lot anyway, I think that Baez is the guy you build around. Maybe at the Cubs price. Not necessarily Baez's price.
Correct.
It's a hard sell, that 203 average or whatever he had last year, right?
Correct. Now everyone can go, well, Yelich struggle, this guy struggle. You let Javi get off to a hot start and all of a sudden, you know, he's in the MVP conversation again like he was in 2018. Now he's like, you know what? That $140 million on the table might turn into $220 in free agency.
Yes.
Yeah, no shot.
So I think imminent meaning by July would be a good number, a good date, I would say, Danny.
Yes, I'm with Hoodie.
All right, gentlemen, Indiana needs a new basketball coach. The Celtics are stalling. Shot or no shot, Brad Stevens leaves the stalling Celtics for the vacant Indiana job.
That's a no shot. Ainge loves Stevens. Stevens' problem is that he has a hard time coaching the diva. Play. Like, he had a hard time coaching Kyrie Irving.
Correct.
And having a hard time here, like, now there's some of the players questioning the offense and all that. But if there's ever an internal struggle, that's where Stevens has a hard time. X's and O's, smart guy, knows the direction of the team. But when it comes to internal stress and strife for the team, he doesn't handle that well. And so I think that he loves the NBA life. When he got hired, it came out of nowhere by Ainge. So I would say that Ainge will stick with him. I would say no shot.
Yeah, I'm with Hoodie. No shot. I've had multiple guys who have gone to the pros and said, go back and recruit, deal with AAU and all that nonsense. When the season ends, I go to my lake house and you don't see me again until training camp. Yeah, no shot.
Yeah, that's his only stumbling block as far as just trying to just get through to certain players, but not to the point where it's a problem.
If he got fired, he'd have five NBA teams go, you want the job?
Yeah, smart guy. So yeah. I'll say at this point, no shot in his career.
Even though it was his dream job at one point.
Gentlemen, Jennifer Lopez, known as J-Lo, and Alex Rodriguez, known as A-Rod, they're reaching the breaking point in their relationship. People close to the couple acknowledge that things are quote-unquote bad between the two. They are quote-unquote now working on their relationship. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, you care about these two and their love life?
I'll say no shot. I don't care about their love life, no. But I do find the story interesting of two people that are actually the same.
You're right. Hoodie pointed that out to me after the show yesterday. I said something, hey, did you see this? Now they were up all night talking. He's like, you do realize they're the same person, just one's a man, one's a woman.
Yes.
I'm with Hoodie. I could give a flying rip about their relationship, but I guess it's like a car wreck.
No, like, I don't.
Do you know what I mean?
No, because they're not. Like a car wreck, I get it. Like, you know me, I'm into the Kardashian thing.
Yes.
Like when their relationships fall apart, for me, it's kind of somewhat interesting. Like there's nothing about these two that interests me whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm with.
J-Lo's all an act. I don't feel like there's anything about her that's real or legit or like we actually are getting a glimpse of who she is.
Like, yeah, this, like A-Rod.
This lady, Cindy Adams in the New York Post, who's the gossip columnist forever there.
Yeah,
she said, you're going to find out she ain't what you all think she is. And she was pretty critical about what people around her say about J-Lo.
Just like the liar on the steroid deal. Same thing. A-Rod's the same thing.
Right.
A-Rod, the only thing I find fascinating about him is that he somehow, some way, hoodwinked Fox and ESPN to hire him. And he's working both at the same time.
Making insane money.
A-Rod making insane money in this company somehow. And never does the car wash. Have you ever seen him do like a radio hit?
No.
Like, oh, no, they can't afford that A-Rod. In his contract. No way.
Where's the radio hit?
If you need me to do a radio hit, it's $50,000 per hit.
Is he on a baseball tonight? Where do you see an A-Rod? Never.
You don't.
It's crazy.
All right, gentlemen, last one. The concerts at Wrigley Field that were canceled last summer. They now have dates for them this summer. So I'm going to go through the list, and you tell me shot or no shot if you'd be willing to attend.
Dangerous game, by the way. Got the dates. Dangerous game. What are they? What are the UFC? You see what happened at UFC? They got their card ready to go August 24th. No, April 24th. Jacksonville. So it's going to be sold out.
Oh, my God.
Shoulder to shoulder. No social distancing.
Jeez.
Yep.
All right, gentlemen, here we go. So originally scheduled for August 29th, 2020, rescheduled for Saturday, July 17th, 2021. Chris Stapleton, shot or no shot, you'd be in attendance.
No shot.
No shot.
Gentlemen, Guns N' Roses, originally scheduled for July 26th, now being rescheduled for Wednesday. Why would you put Guns N' Roses on a Wednesday? July 21st, shot or no shot, you'll be in attendance.
No shot.
No shot.
Why are they putting Guns N' Roses? That makes me
Wednesday.
More mad than Sister Jean. Like, you need to get so bleep-faced to go see Guns N' Roses.
Have you ever seen them?
Oh, yeah. And it's incredible. And you do not want to have to go to work the next day.
How many concerts have you been to in your
God,
life?
Hold so many.
Hold on a
so
second.
Many.
So is this a one-shot deal? Are they going to stay for a couple of days or just the one time at Wrigley?
Just
park
Wednesday,
themselves
July
in center field for one day.
Okay. Wednesday, July 21st. That's it. Middle of the week.
Okay, what's Thursday? Hammond Civic Center?
I don't know.
The Genesis Center.
I don't know.
Friday, Rockford. How do they do that? Middle of the week, Wednesday. All right.
So pointless. All right, gentlemen, originally scheduled for August 13th, now August 15th, which is a Sunday. Green Day, Fall Out Boy, and Weezer.
No shot.
No shot. Green Day would be interesting, but no shot.
So far, you guys are going to no concerts at Wrigley Field. Lady Gaga, originally scheduled for August 14th, now will be rescheduled for Friday, August 27th. See, she could play a Wednesday night. Swap her with Guns N' Roses.
What are you talking about? Oh, get out of here.
You got to work around these performers' schedules.
Why are you dissing Gaga?
Is she singing about her drug dealer, Mr. Brownstone? Well, I don't think so.
What's the undercard? You got an undercard there?
No, it's just Lady Gaga. I don't think she needs an undercard. It's an evening with Lady Gaga.
I've actually seen her at Ravinia with Tony Bennett. Yes, I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Wasn't he recruiting then?
They actually were on a dead recruiting period.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he flew in from Virginia to do the show.
Okay. I was just wondering, was he as boring as his defense?
Pretty close.
Okay.
So is that a shot you're going?
Yeah, no shot.
No. So far, you guys are not going to anything.
Wait, hold on. What day?
That's a Friday, August 27th. Maybe take the Peacock.
Shot.
All right. Hoodrow.
Shot.
Got All him. Right, this is one we know J.R. Strauss, our guy, is going to be at. Originally scheduled August 28th, now rescheduled again on a school night, Sunday, August 29th. Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Poison, and Joan Jett.
Yeah, the hardest pass of all.
Hold on a second. So, J.R., out of that pack, does Joan Jett start first? Who starts in that spot?
It's definitely Joan Jett. I would say it would go in this order. Joan Jett first, Poison second, Motley Crue third, Def Leppard last. Am I right, JR?
Motley Crue and Def Leppard will probably
play. Motley Crue or Def Leppard, he said, could either go last. But those are the two big ones on the marquee. And then Poison and Joan Jett, you know, hit you while you're getting lubed up.
Yeah, I'm going to pass.
I'd go see Joan Jett and then I'd leave. I don't need the rest of it.
Dude, you'd be surprised how many of those songs you know. Not only Joan Jett,
yeah.
Poison, Motley Crue, Def Leppard. Like, if you went, I have a feeling you'd be singing along with more songs than you wouldn't.
Yeah, but no one wants me there.
All right, last one. Everyone wants you there. Everyone wants you there.
I mean, like, where's Waldo if I'm at one of those concerts? Are you kidding
me? You spend an evening and a weekend in Riverwoods. Now you go to this concert, you're opening doors single-handedly.
That's it, kid.
All right, Maroon 5, originally scheduled for June 13th, now Monday, August 30th. Shot or no shot?
No shot.
Yeah, no shot.
No, you guys really aren't going to any good concerts this summer.
No Joan Jett, though. Again, I'd be there early, and then I'd just
leave. Joan Jett and the Black Arts.
I'd go see that.
We pay respects to an old friend, and many of you know who this person is. You'll be stunned. Next.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So yesterday on the show, Hoodie said, we were talking about Drew Brees, and we had a caller who would always call in to talk baseball, but he also loved Drew Brees. And his name was Matt from River North. And if you listened to this show a lot, you would always hear, hey Cap, what do you think about this? Hey Cap, hey Hoodie. We need a running back like O.J. Simpson. He was always old school.
Yes.
So yesterday you said, hey, Matt from River North, call the show. We want your take on Drew Brees because he just announced his retirement.
Right.
He didn't call. And then later in the day, I'm on Twitter and I get a tweet from a friend of his who says, Cap, send me a DM. I want to give you some information. So I click on him. I follow him. I send him a DM. What's up? He tells me that Matt from River North died. Matt was as long as I've been on this station, that guy's been calling.
Sure.
And before I got here, he was calling. But he'd walked up to me a few times at the health club that I go to. And, hey, man, I'm Matt from River North. Nicest guy in the world. He was 58 years of age. And he was working out and collapsed. And it just completely changed my perspective on the day for quite a while yesterday. My wife comes home. She's like, what are you down about? And I said, I met this guy two or three times. He called Hoodie and I, what would you say, Hoodie, twice a week?
Yeah.
At least. And I told her, I said, this guy was 58 years old. He was working out. Had something happen? And gone. Like that. And they did a moment of silence to him at the George Washington
University baseball stadium because he played there. And now he's a Chicago guy. He was our guy, man. He was just one of the characters that would call the show.
So we started our show on August 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a new show, you're trying to develop listeners and callers. And they're referred to as P1s, those that are always listen to you, always tweet at you, always support the show that they like.
Right.
Or don't like. But
right.
There's always, they're referred to as P1s in the business. And for Matt for River North, he was one of our first callers mm-hmm. for our new show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he called shows before, but he'd always call in. And I got a kick out of him because when we talk about David Montgomery, he'd say, he goes, you know what? Yeah, you got to have a running back, you know, kind of like O.J. Simpson, which is kind of, it tickled me because you never talk about O.J. Simpson about as far as his football prowess. You think about O.J. Simpson for other things, but never about his football. And so because he was old school, he would always bring up Buffalo, would bring up Washington because he played ball there. He understands what's going on in the Washington, D.C., Baltimore area scene.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd always call in with his perspective from, you know, from what he sees here, but from where he was out east. And so we will miss him because, you know, he had that gravelly voice. He was unmistakable when you heard him, and he always brought a great perspective. And so I asked for him just out of the blue because I knew that he has these memories of ball players in the past, right? And so now we come to find out that story, and it's devastating because he's one of our guys. He's part of the family
on this show.
Of the Cap and J-Hood show.
Yeah, and I found the tweet from George Washington University in D.C. Prior to today's game, we held a moment of silence to honor the life of Matt the Hammer Haberman Heller, class of 1984. I think he went as Matt Heller, who tragically passed away. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family and loved ones. It just, hashtag raise high. It's just, wow. Like, that's our guy, man. We like talking sports. We didn't always agree, but man, shows you how freaking precious life is, man. Tomorrow is promised to no one. And that guy was calling our show early last week and didn't make it to the end of the week. So our deepest sympathies to Matt Heller's family and his friends. We miss him now on this show. He was an awesome, awesome caller to have all the time engaged on this show. We'll cross talk in 2 minutes.